It's nice to see you this evening. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 7. And I want to make sure that all the adult teachers had the teacher's guide. If any of you did not get that, would you raise your hand? Brother Scott could help get you one. Any of the adult teachers need the teacher's guide. Giving that to you tonight, and also we had the book last week, and so I'll make sure you have that. We're beginning a new series this week on the parables of the Lord Jesus, and I'm excited about us getting into this series. I know they're going to be a help to us. The first part of this particular lesson, in fact, just the first few paragraphs that you'll read in your reading material, are kind of introductory to the entire series. And I want to encourage you as a teacher not to forget in that teacher's guide to look through their goals for the series. There's a great introduction entitled Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. And I don't know how you could start teaching this series without reading that particular introduction. So please take the time to read that in the teacher's guide and just let it kind of wash through your mind and get in your heart, because it'll prepare you for so many things that you're going to be teaching here in just the next couple of weeks, and even the things from today. When we start looking at these parables of the Lord Jesus, we realize there's a great emphasis on them in the Scriptures. In fact, just about one-third of the teachings, the recorded teachings of Jesus, are given to us in parables. That means if we're going to understand what Christ said, we have to have some understanding about these parables. They're very important. Nearly one-third of the recorded teachings we have are given to us in that way. You'll find the parables of the Lord Jesus in the first three gospel records, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. You'll not find them in the gospel according to John, but you'll find them scattered throughout those first three gospel records. And you'll find several things to be true about these parables as we study them. The word parable means to cast alongside, to cast alongside. And so a parable is a story cast alongside a great spiritual truth. Jesus uses that story, usually a very common, very easily understood story, something that anybody in the audience could understand and comprehend what went on. Usually he used that story and cast along some great spiritual truth, and there's one great lesson that he was trying to teach us in giving that particular parable. Sometimes we'll find that the context gives indication as to the meaning of that parable. Other times we'll compare Scripture with Scripture, and we'll have great indication as to the meaning of that particular parable. But as a general rule, a parable doesn't have meaning in every single minute detail. It's just given to us to communicate one great truth for us. And they're very powerful because the parables just naturally are very illustrative. They kind of help us to see the truth and not just hear it, but to see it. And of course, the Lord Jesus knew the value of it as the master teacher, and he used them so often as we read through the New Testament. Let's look at the first one that we'll study tonight very quickly, and that is the parable of the hearers and the doers. The parable of the hearers and the doers. Look at Matthew chapter 7, and look down at verse 24, the very end of the chapter, and this is the very end of a long, lengthy passage of Scripture that we call the Sermon on the Mount. Chapters 5 through 7 in the book of Matthew deal with this Sermon on the Mount. It begins with the Beatitudes, and of course, many call this the greatest sermon ever preached, but it ends with an extremely severe warning, and Jesus gave this warning in the form of a parable. Let's read it together. Look at the verse 24 down to verse 29. The Bible says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Now notice again, looking into this particular parable in verse 24, he said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them." And then he says in verse 26, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not." We're talking in this parable about the hearers and the doers. The hearers and the doers. The point that we see is that all people build some kind of a life, But Jesus places the emphasis here in this story on the foundation. There were two different houses. In fact, as far as we know, both houses appeared to be strong. Both houses appeared to be houses that would stand. But we know from the story that one house stood and one house fell. In fact, it didn't just fall. The Bible says great was the fall of it. So how come one stood and one fell? It all had to do with the foundation. It all had to do with the foundation. And all of us are building some kind of life, but Jesus Christ wants to emphasize in this story, what kind of foundation are we building upon? We know we're building, but he doesn't emphasize the materials or the builder or anything else. He wants to know, what kind of foundation are you building your life upon? And that's what we'll consider this week. I want you to notice, first of all, the person speaking in this parable. At the very end, it says in verse 28, "It came to pass when Jesus ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority." Why do you think they thought this guy has authority? Because he really did have authority. In fact, he had all the authority of heaven and earth. He had all the authority of this world. He was God Almighty. He was God in the flesh. And we're talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And when he spoke, he was speaking the Word of God. As he spoke, they recognized something. They recognized we're hearing different words than man's words. We're hearing words that have authority and power. We're hearing words that seem to command our life. And you know, that's exactly what the Word of God is today. Just as Jesus spoke to them that day, we still have the Word of God speaking to us today. We have the complete written Word of God that we can hold and read and teach this Sunday. And all that is just as much the Word of God as if it were breathed right out of the mouth of Jesus standing before you tonight. You see? It's the Word of God. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, Jesus said to his disciples, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" See, that's the point of this parable. If we know the person who's speaking, then we are obligated by the fact that we're listening to the Word of God, we are obligated to do what he says. Before we get so hard on these people in his day who were hypocritical and they listened to him and act like they were part of his crowd and went away and their lives were never changed, we need to think about our own lives, don't we? Because we so often hear the Word of God. I would imagine that the people in this room and the people in a church like this church, we are most accountable. People like me, people have taught me the Word of God and preached the Word of God to me so much, it's just staggering to even think about how many messages I've heard, how many Sunday school lessons I've heard, and how many I've studied for. I mean, it's staggering to think about the responsibility, because we hear and hear and hear and hear. If we're not careful, we fail to realize the words of God have authority. We are obligated to do what Jesus Christ wants us to do, because they're not the words of man. We notice not only the person speaking this parable, but let's notice the principle that's stated for us. Look, if you would, again in verse 24. Here's the principle. Jesus said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." He said, I want to state a principle for you. We'll try to teach you something. He wanted to try to teach them how they could build on the right foundation. How they could build on the right foundation. You see, Christ's desire was not for them to fall. Christ's desire was for them to stand. When we look at these two houses, you know, the same rain and the same wind and the same floods came to both houses. You know that? Sometimes people act like, well, if you get saved, you have no other problems in life. We know that's not true, right? Hey, the same rain falls on the good and the just. And the same rain falls on the bad and the ugly and everybody else. The rains come, the floods come, the winds are going to blow in life. But here's the point. Some fall and some stand. Jesus said, I want to teach you how you can build on the right foundation. So he stated a principle for us. And here's what he said. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. It's really a pretty simple principle. In the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, we find the statement given to us, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Which is Jesus Christ. See, the rock building that foundation and building that house upon the rock, that rock is a type of Jesus Christ. He said, I want you to build your life on me. But what does it really mean if I say, I want you to build your life on Jesus Christ and not on the sand? I want you to build your life on the rock and not on the sand so you won't fall. What does that really mean? What we're really saying is this. Here's the principle. He said, if you hear these sayings of mine, by the way, I have his sayings right here in my hand tonight. If you hear these sayings and do them, then you're building on the right foundation. To say that I'm going to build my life on the rock, on Jesus Christ, means that I say his word is final and his word's forever and his word is the authority of my life. And his word is what I'm going to obey, and his word is what I'm going to heed. I mean, I'm going to hear it, and I'm going to do it. I believe in Jesus Christ, and I'm going to live my life in obedience to his word. That is building on the rock. That's what it is. That is building on the rock. And that is the principle that we find here. That is the principle. It's a principle of hearing and heeding. It's a principle of hearing and doing. There are some people who hear and do, and there are some people who hear and do not do. That's pretty simple, isn't it? But that's also pretty convicting often, isn't it? When we take this into our own lives and we make it personal and we realize how often we delay when we hear the Word of God, we realize how often even as Christians we say, well, I've trusted as my Savior. I heard the gospel and I believe, yeah, but take it in an application sense in your own life. When we so often delay to obey the things that God wants us to do, and we know clearly, it's not a matter of searching and seeking God's will. There are so many things that we know clearly what we ought to do for God, and yet we delay. You know what that is? It's disobedience. And Jesus said that's not the way, that's not the principle you need to follow. That's not the way to build your life in the right way. That's not the right way to lay that foundation on the rock. You see, God's made our lives pretty wonderful as Christians because we don't have to experiment. We don't have to try different ways and just hope at the end of life, well, I hope I built my life on the right foundation. No, if we'll trust Jesus Christ as Savior and we'll hear His Word and obey His Word, then we know for sure, we don't have to experiment with life. We know for sure, Jesus said, if you follow this principle, then you're going to be like the house. You're going to be a wise man. You're going to be like the house that a wise man built upon the rock. And it doesn't matter what storms come in life, you're going to stand. I'm going to keep you safe. You're going to be safe in Jesus, and I'm going to keep you in your life. But when we disobey the Word of God, you know what? It's just a foolish thing. Jesus said it was a foolish man who built his house on the sand. It's a foolish thing to do. That's the principle that we're going to teach this week. Hearing and doing. Hearing and heeding. And then lastly, I want you to notice very quickly there's a promise made. You know what the promise is? It's just in three little words in the middle of verse 25. It says, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew. Sounds like a lot of our lives, right? Sounds like a day when we just woke up and everything went wrong. Sounds like sometimes weeks or months on end when everything seems to go wrong. The rain's coming, the flood's rising up, the winds are blowing and beat on the house. But look at this promise. He said, and it fell not. That's a good promise, isn't it? He said, it fell not. You see, and in the story here, in this little parable, it just has one big point. When you hear the Word of God, you should do it. When we know what God wants us to do, let us not delay. Let us not be foolish and walk away in disobedience. Let us do it. And he said, if you'll live your life that way, he said, I have a promise for you. You're not going to fall. You're not going to fall. Of course, we're not talking about, well, somebody could lose their salvation if they start falling away in disobedience to God. We're not talking about that. But Jesus makes this beautiful promise. It will not fall. Hey, God is going to bring me into my desired haven. There's no doubt. If I'm saved, He's going to bring me into heaven. But on a daily basis in my Christian life, He's going to allow me to stand and stand in victory. He says, it fell not. It fell not. You know, we try to help people and encourage people, try to help ourselves so often. But you know what? As we trust Christ as Savior and build by obeying Jesus Christ on the foundation of our salvation, we find that we are not going to fall. We are not going to fall. Jesus helps us to stand. Jesus gives us the victory. The point is, the storms are coming. The storms are coming. And you can try to help a man all you want or help somebody all you want, but unless they're willing to obey the Word of God, unless they're willing to obey the Word of God, the storms are going to blow them off course. We encourage people, hear God's word and do what God wants you to do. That's the principle that Jesus gave. That's the principle Jesus gave. It's clear, isn't it, because it's in a story form. We see it real clearly. And Jesus meant for it to be that way. Simple and clear so that we might get it in all of our lives. Let's pray together, and that's what will give us a good service tonight. Also bless this lesson this week. Lord, we love you. We pray, Lord, that you would bless in the Sunday school this coming weekend. Lord, give us a good number in classes and help us to get this principle in our hearts. And Lord, give us a good service tonight. I pray you'd be with preacher as he leads and as he preaches. Lord, I pray you'd use him in a great way and give us the message that we need, Lord, that would speak to our hearts. And we praise you for all you've done. Thank you for saving our souls. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.